In the name of one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Who is wise and understanding among you? James writes in his letter to the followers of Jesus. What a great question. Who is wise and understanding among you? And wouldn't we all like to be remembered as wise? Oh, that Holly, she knew every book in the Bible. They never said. Oh, Holly knew so much about liturgy that she was far beyond the likes of all mankind. No one uttered ever. James today writes about what it is to be wise and what it is to be understanding, what it is to be a follower of the Christ. And I probably could just read this section of the letter back and be done. But that Holly, she never did things that way either. James writes, and I paraphrase, if we're going to be wise, we have to be humble. Because humility comes from wisdom. It comes from a heavenly place, a place that is with God, a place that is pure and full of hope. And still being of this place, we must consider what it means to be earthly in our wisdom. James says, if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to be like Jesus. Some theologians would consider to say, we need to be Jesus. We need to continue to move through this place until we are, in fact, the Christ. Having Jesus' wisdom has nothing to do with what we know. It doesn't have to do with what we learned from the books. It has to do with something else. And we find throughout Scripture, we continue to hear, the disciples did not understand, and yet they followed. The disciples know nothing of what he speaks, and yet they follow. There had to be something else about Jesus than what he knew from the Torah. There had to be more than what he knew from being God, God's self. He had to have other characteristics. I find sometimes the followers of Jesus are far more focused on being right than being righteous. We claim that we are so wise and we know so much. And when we do it, we forget sometimes to be compassionate. And how can we be surprised then when people don't want to follow the Christians? They don't want to be with the Christians. They don't want to be a Christian. Because we lose the wisdom that is following Jesus. In this passage from James, he gives us valuable, valuable counsel on what it is to be wise and to follow. He says that if we want to be holy, just as Jesus is holy, then we have to work on that kind of holiness and that kind of wisdom. He really gives us, for those who are of the kind who have spiritual direction and seek a way of life, he gives us the beginnings of working through a rule of life. He asks us, what about our motives? What about our actions? Are they pure? Are they holy? What about the reason we do things? Do we do what we do because the world says this is what is expected of us? Or do we do what we do because we believe that's what God expects of us? Is the reason I have for doing the things I do because I like it the way I do it? Those three gentlemen would say, yes, that's true. Or is it because it's the way that Jesus might do it? Am I someone who's seeking commonality in conflict, resolution, and a place to go from where things are broken or where there's been a falling out? Am I considerate? And can I continue to consider the feelings of others even when I am provoked, even when I'm disappointed, even when I don't get what I believe is my right to have? And when I speak, can I do it with kindness and generosity and love? And when I am at fault, am I teachable? Are others able to come to me and tell me, you know, I might have considered doing it a different way? There's wisdom in this letter of James. And he says more. He talks about mercy. He talks about the mercy we've been given, the mercy that we share. If you're like me, I'm often very happy to receive mercy. Sometimes I'm not so good about giving it back. I find sometimes the better part of mercy is to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and letting things go and allowing God to divvy the justice. Retired Archbishop David Moxon writes this: every Christian wears an invisible sign around their necks which reads, "Work in progress." Or, "Be patient with me. God has not finished with me yet." Or, "You should have seen what I was like before." James reminds us that the walk that we walk with Jesus is a daily exercise. It's daily conversion. It's daily transformation. We don't have this moment when all of a sudden we are holier than holy and we are prepared to do the business that God has given us. It's every single day. Every single day, we get an opportunity to grow in our integrity, in our generosity, in our kindness and goodness and love. We're always growing from this world and to a greater world, a greater vision of who God is. We're called to see ourselves as learners. Learners on the way, learners of the way, learners in the way. And to be consistent and attentive in our prayers, in our worship, in our fellowship, in our service. And we're called to be guided by the light that is in us, not the shadows that surround us. And we also wear an invisible sign of the cross, that for those of us who have been baptized, that is what enables us to wear the other sign that we are a work in progress. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. This process, it goes all the way back to the disciples, this walking day by day to seek God's wisdom and to live God's love and compassion. They were arguing with themselves then about which of us will be chosen the best. It would appear that they too were wearing the sign, "Work in Progress." Somehow I find that heartening.